Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 40, and today I want to talk about a common question among parents of toddlers. Are they ignoring me, or is it sensory? The basic question breaks down to behavior versus sensory issues. Are they just being a toddler who, from a developmental standpoint, is going through a time where they start to assert their independence? It is the time where they typically start to understand that they have some control over situations, some control over their actions. This is part of toddler development, but it can be confusing when you have a toddler who you either suspect or know that they have sensory processing issues. If you haven't done so already, please go to my website, mymidwesttherapy.com, and check out the new community resource directory page. All of you listening are part of a unique group of like-minded people. We're all interested in child development and special needs for our own reasons, but those reasons are all related. Now we have a place where you can list your business or website or company information for everyone in our community that can come and find you. This is our opportunity to finally start building that community together in one place. If you have a business or website related in some way to child development, special needs, or anything within that realm that can benefit parents of kids with special needs, or even adults who may need some services, go to my website and put your information out there for us. It's very easy to list your information and a very affordable way to advertise to all of the people in the Milestones Podcast community. It only costs $60 for 1 year. That breaks down to just $5 per month. You won't find a better price than that to advertise your business. If you are a therapist, a doctor, a clinic, ABA provider, toy or therapy equipment company, a hospital, or maybe a retired nurse who could provide respite care to a family in their area, or anyone else who has a business that somehow or some way relates to special needs or to providing services to people with disabilities, please get on and sign up. Not only is this an easy way to advertise yourself and your business, but it is a way to help other listeners find resources that they can use. Parents, grandparents, and other therapists can get on the site and support your business by using your services or buying your products. Let's all support each other and build this community together. You will be able to post one or two images, plus give a description of your business or services, and give your contact information for people to find you. This is an excellent way for people to find services in their area, and is an excellent opportunity for you to get your business out there for people to find. If you have an online company, this show reaches people all over the world. So there is a really large audience listening to this show that will be able to easily find your business. If you are a listener looking for resources, check it out. Since it just started this week, there aren't too many resources listed yet. But keep checking back to see updates. Also, if you know of anyone who has a business that could go on here, let them know about the opportunity. They may appreciate the information so they can let people know about their business. Now for today's show, I found a study called Prevalence of Parents' Perceptions of Sensory Processing Disorders Among Kindergarten Children. It was published in 2004 in the American Journal of Occupational Therapy. If you are familiar with sensory processing, you may recognize the name Lucy Jane Miller. Well, she was one of the researchers in this study. In the study, they surveyed parents of kindergarten students in one school district in the United States. They used the short sensory profile questionnaire for the survey. The questionnaires were completed anonymously, and they received 710 of the surveys back from parents. So about 40% of the parents returned their completed surveys for the 1999 to 2000 school year. Most of the children in the study were between the ages of 4 to 6 years, and there were approximately half male and half female. The results of this study indicated that in this sample of kindergarten students, 96 out of 703 valid return surveys met the criteria for having sensory processing disorders. That is 13.7% of the sample that was surveyed. This lays out to be about an estimated 5.3% of the entire kindergarten enrollment, or 96 out of the 1,796 kids in the kindergarten in that district. With this information, we can estimate that at the time the study came out, there were approximately 220,000 kindergarten children in the United States. So we could estimate that around 11,660 kindergarten students could potentially have had sensory processing disorders. In this study, the participants were all anonymous, so the exact number of kids included in the results who had special needs was not available. But it was estimated that approximately 1% of the kids may have had special needs based on some of the ages of the kids being older than expected for kindergarten. So basically what this tells me is that the majority of the kids in the study were considered typically developing, and still 5% of them showed signs, as reported by their parents, of sensory processing disorders. This is very interesting information. And this is one reason why so many parents don't know where to turn for help when they have concerns about their children and no one can seem to give them any information or guidance. Many people talk to their pediatricians about some of the issues or concerns they are having with their child's development, but not all pediatricians are able to recognize sensory processing symptoms or even mention it as a possibility to people. Those parents who have never heard of sensory processing as a thing either would not have the first clue where to turn for some answers because they wouldn't know what to call it. A lot of times they eventually end up talking to enough people about their concerns that someone will finally mention sensory processing, and there we go. We're finally getting somewhere. When there is no other diagnosis or special need with their child, they don't have the team around them supporting them that can introduce the idea of sensory processing when appropriate. Then, I start to get questions from parents like, how do I know if my child is just ignoring me or if there is something else going on? I think they can hear. They've always passed their hearing tests at school or at the doctor's office. So, let's talk about this now. Hopefully, the information today will help you point you in the right direction of where to start. If you are having these questions, I would consider seeking an evaluation from a pediatric occupational therapist. They will be able to tell you more after meeting with you and your child in person. This is the time I would like to direct you to the community resource directory on my website to find someone in your area. But I need more people to sign up to be on the directory to make that happen for you. So let's get on there, guys. The question in this case, ignoring versus something else, is really a question of behavior versus sensory processing. When I use the word behavior in this situation, I don't mean that the child is potentially having a behavior problem. I use the word behavior to signify that they're purposefully ignoring you or not responding to you because of some reason that they don't want to. This is typical for toddlers, and sometimes this continues even with older kids. But I know why it is confusing to people because during the toddler years, they tend to try to get out of doing things they don't want to do. If you are calling for them to come to you because it's time to leave the park and they aren't ready to leave the park, they may ignore you or act like they don't hear you when you know they did hear you. Or when they are climbing up on the kitchen counter to reach the cookies and you tell them to get down but they don't. They may not look at you and continue climbing towards the cookies anyway. They know what you're saying, but they really want those cookies, so they're willing to take the chance that they might be able to get the cookies anyway, and you ultimately won't care. They could be right or wrong about this. These are typical situations where the child is pushing the limits, testing out the limits, to see what they can get away with and what they can't. How you as the parent react in these typical situations sets the stage for what will continue to happen during this time in development. You need to be consistent and follow through with what you are asking them to do. If you tell them to get down from the counter and they continue climbing, then you need to make sure and stop them before they get to the reward of the cookies. This means that you may have to get up and physically pick them up and put them back down on the ground, off the counter, and they for sure are not going to get a cookie right away now, since they didn't listen to you and didn't get back down on their own. If they do end up listening to you and they climb down without pursuing the cookies further, you can ask them what they wanted, even though you already know. But this is an excellent opportunity to reinforce that they can tell you or ask you for what they want, and they can get that thing since they asked rather than climbing up to get it on their own, since it's not safe to be doing that. If the child is not able to tell you they wanted a cookie, you can ask them if that's what they wanted and help them figure out how to use language to communicate their needs, and in this case, their wants. Maybe this wouldn't have been a time of day that you would normally give them a cookie, and you can make that decision to say that we're not having cookies right now and stand firm with that decision as well. But give them a time frame for when they will be able to have a cookie, like after we eat dinner or after you take a bath or whatever the situation might be. On the other hand, if this wouldn't have been a time where they would normally get a cookie, but you want to go ahead and use it as a time to practice asking or requesting things, I think you could go ahead and do that and make the exception. However, if the child is always climbing and trying to get things they want that they aren't supposed to have, then I would recommend against giving them the cookie at that moment. Redirect them on to playing with something else or read a book with them, and then ask them if they want a cookie, maybe 15 to 30 minutes later. This will be a better opportunity to practice having them request things they want without reinforcing the climbing. If climbing is something they do a lot when they shouldn't be, then you don't want to reinforce that by giving them a cookie, even if they ask once they get down. You want to try and put some time and space between the climbing episodes so they don't think every time they climb up, they will get the cookie or whatever else they are after. You might see the child smile and keep going or move even faster to continue climbing up after you first tell them to get down. Of course, this would indicate to me that they definitely heard you and understood what you said, but they're going to smile and continue because it's like a game now, more like a race, to see if they can get the cookie before you get to them. Again, in this situation, I would imagine this is a frequent occurrence and should not be rewarded by getting the cookie right away. This can be very typical of toddlers to play this game and push the limits of your rules, but that doesn't mean we should let them get away with it just because it is a typical thing for them to do. This is a very important time for us to teach them that they have to listen to you and do what you ask. It isn't an option to ignore you purposefully. You will be doing your child a disservice if you allow this to happen. For one, it will be difficult to change the expectations later on if this is the way it has always been for them. And for two, they could end up getting to be school-aged and not listening to their teachers and causing general problems in the classroom. It is a lot easier to set the tone early on when they are first getting into this stage of development, so they really don't know any different and don't see that there are any other options because there aren't. What you say is what goes, and you mean it, and they know that because you make sure it happens the way you say by following through. Now, you can do this in a nice way, nice but consistent. The key to it all is consistency between events and between you and your spouse or significant other. Everyone has to be on the same page, and there won't be any questions if that's the case. The other part of the question for today relates to sensory processing. Most of the time, the question comes into play because of a thing called auditory processing. This is how we process things that we hear. This is not a question of, can they hear, or any type of hearing impairment happening. This is a matter of, there is a sound in the environment, the information comes in through their ears and goes to the brain. The brain takes a certain amount of time to process the information, then sends the body the signals about how to respond to that information. For some people, the time to process the information takes longer than we would normally expect it to. This is the situation where you say something to your child like, get off the counter, and they continue climbing. The difference with this situation and the one before was that was behavior-based is that the information came into the child's ears and went to their brain, but the brain didn't process what the parent said or what the information was right away. The processing time is different with each individual and within each situation or environment. So when they continue climbing in this case, it's because their brain didn't process what you said yet, and they are just continuing to climb as if you never said anything, because as far as they know right now, you didn't say anything, or at least they haven't figured out what you said yet. You might see them get to the top of the counter before they turn around and notice that you're there or notice that you even said something to them. Depending on the level of severity with the processing, they may not have understood what you said at all, even if they did process it completely. This could indicate a possible cognitive or problem-solving type delay in addition to the auditory processing delay. Another possible scenario is that their auditory processing system is working overtime. Sometimes people with difficulty with blocking out sounds that aren't important to the situation. So instead of taking longer to process what they heard, they are being bombarded with sounds that they are trying to process all at the same time. There is no filter, or at least not an efficient filter for sounds. So they hear every sound in the environment, even ones that you don't hear or notice. In a typical auditory processing system, we are able to pay attention to the things that really matter and block out the ones that don't matter. For example, the fan on the refrigerator, or the car honking sounds outside the window, the TV on in the other room that we're not watching right now. All of those things that we usually consider background noises are things that people with highly sensitive auditory processing systems are not able to block out. So in this situation, they are hearing and processing everything in the environment, and that can get in the way of them actually processing what you said when you told them to get down from the counter. They may eventually get to that information in their brain, but could be so distracted by all of the other information at the same time that they can't respond appropriately to what you've said, even if they wanted to. In both of these types of auditory processing, the child is not purposefully ignoring you or trying to get away with something just because they want to do it. They are literally limited by their auditory processing systems. In the climbing for cookies example, you will most likely have to physically go over and have them get down from the counter by placing them back on the ground. But you can and should use this moment as a teaching moment, where you use whatever type of communication that you normally use with them in learning situations. Do you use pictures or some other type of visual cue or object with them? I would recommend trying this if you don't already. The visual system is a different area of processing that takes a different pathway to get to the brain. So as long as the visual processing area is working effectively, this is a very good way to help them learn or process the information. You can use a picture of a cookie or just get the cookie package or the cookie itself and show them, knowing this is what they are after. Give them the language, I want cookie or want cookie, or just cookie or want. You can use a basic sign for want or cookie to show them a gesture they can use to ask for the cookie if they aren't able to say the words yet. I will put links to some pictures of what those signs might look like in the show notes for today. If the child is talking and is able to say those words but is showing delays in auditory processing, you can try some other strategies with them. Try and shorten the phrases or sentences you use with them to 1 to 3 words if possible. For example, get down or just simply down. This will cut out the number of words they have to try and process in addition to the other sounds that are in the environment. By limiting the words you say to them, you give them a better chance at processing what you are saying to them more easily, and hopefully slightly faster than if you use a whole sentence like, please get down off the counter right now and stop climbing all the time. There are a lot of extra words in there that aren't necessary in that moment. Also, kids that have trouble processing auditory information do better with phrases that are common or ones that they hear frequently. So using those familiar phrases with them can also help them process the words in a hopefully more timely manner. You should also try and lower your body so that you are more face-to-face with them, so they can focus on your face better and try to only listen or attend to the things that you are saying to them directly. Standing above them or hollering at them from across the room is not as helpful with their processing difficulties. Another thing to consider is that they may be climbing for some other type of sensory reasons, like visual, proprioceptive, or vestibular, with or without auditory processing also being a factor. What I'm saying is that the climbing may not be for the actual purpose of getting to the cookies on the counter. If climbing is something that they do a lot of, it could be because they are seeking out some other type of stimulation, and not necessarily because they are trying to drive you crazy with climbing all the time. Some kids with visual processing issues or with vision deficits in the lower fields like to be up higher where they can see things better. The lower field deficits are where they don't see things down low very well. They might trip over things on the floor a lot because they literally don't see them there. They can be timid on steps or unsafe on steps, and even on uneven surfaces or surfaces that change, like from the grass to the sidewalk or the playground to the grass. The area down low and in front of them is considered the lower field. For one reason or another, if the vision is missing in that area, a lot of times those kids will try to get up to higher places. This allows them to see the ground better, at least the ground that is farther away from them, because they have the higher vantage point, although they still might not see the things directly below them from their high up place. They will, in general, be able to see much more than they can from their low place on the ground. Think about how short toddlers are. They're pretty close to the ground, so when they get up high, there is so much more to see. Some kids like to climb up because they like the way it feels on their joints, muscles, tendons when they push and pull themselves up on things. This is a proprioceptive sensory activity for them. Again, not a behavior type activity, but one that feels good to their body because of the deep pressure and the resistance they feel from climbing. Kids who enjoy this feeling also often jump down from heights or surfaces so they can feel their body crash on the floor or cushions below them. The crashing and falling onto things below them gives their body additional deep pressure or input that they like. It helps them feel where their body is in this world. The other sensory piece that they might get from climbing is vestibular stimulation. The action of moving their head and body upwards against gravity is stimulating to the vestibular system. Vestibular system is the sense where your inner ear semicircular canals determine which way your head is oriented and moving in space. It tells you if you are spinning or swinging, jumping, or moving in any direction at all. Kids that like that movement sensation of their head sometimes enjoy climbing up for one because the pull of gravity against their head, more specifically the fluid in their ears, and secondly because you will often see them jump down from heights to feel the free fall sensation of moving quickly down with gravity. For this show today, I mainly stuck with the climbing up and cookie example, but you can take the information I have given you about each piece of the examples from today and apply that information to any other activity, action, or behavior in question. One way to know for sure if your child is having difficulties with auditory processing is to have them evaluated by an occupational therapist in your area. You can also consider other situations in their day or life that can give you some clues that this might be affecting them. Some potential signs or symptoms of auditory processing disorders might include things like difficulty with following verbal directions, being distracted in noisy environments, appearing anxious in noisy environments, not turning their head to look when you call their name, even in a quieter environment. They might take longer to respond when you ask them questions. They might have difficulty with recalling stories or songs. They may not be able to remember people's names or the kids' names in their class. And they might have difficulty with reading comprehension and spelling. It becomes more difficult to determine the answer to the question, "Are they ignoring me or is it sensory?" when you know they have auditory processing issues and they are also a toddler or young child. This is the ultimate time for the question because you know that they have the sensory issue, but that they also have the toddler issue. In this case, you can't always be sure, and not to be general here, but it really depends on the specific situation and individual child. Sometimes the answer is it's both ignoring and sensory. Sometimes they might have some trouble with processing, but once they do get the information processed, they decide to go ahead and ignore you anyway. If that is the case, you should, as well with the other situations, be consistent in your actions and follow through. To wrap things up, I would like you to keep in mind that if your child has known or suspected sensory processing issues, I would tend to give them the benefit of the doubt when you're questioning whether or not they are just ignoring you. When they are having difficulty with processing auditory or any sensory information for that matter, they're not messing with you on purpose to make you upset or to make you crazy. They literally can't help those things. As their parent, I think most of the time, you probably know when it is processing and when it is behavior. Sometimes it is hard to see it clearly because we are emotionally invested in our own kids. Trust your instincts and try to give them the benefit of the doubt whenever possible. They are only young for a short time when it comes down to it, so try to enjoy all of the good times with them as much as you can. And don't forget to check out those really good deals on developmental toys that I have on my website now from Melissa and Doug. Really good stuff and learning resources. On the main page of my website on the right-hand side, you will see the Amazon link. And right below that now are the banners for those three toy companies as well. The deals they offer will change occasionally, but this is similar to the Amazon stuff where you can support me by using my Amazon links to do all of your Amazon shopping. You can use those other links to support me by shopping with those companies. But the cool thing about those is that it also benefits you because they offer deals on shipping and other discounts on purchases. So this is one very good way that we can help each other out. I will also be putting links in the show notes to some of the products for these websites, so you won't always have to search for my website to find the links. Don't forget to email me with any questions or general comments and thoughts about the show and anything else you would like for me to talk about more. My email address is Allison@mymidwesttherapy.com. Thank you so much for listening.